Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Welcome back to the GG Over Easy podcast. My name is Blue Weslow, here with the one and only Robbie underscore V. So glad to have you. I know you have a busy schedule. You know, we were thinking of guests and we were like, damn, we got to get Rob on here.
Yeah, so I thank you guys for having me. It was a really cool podcast. It was really cool to talk about the day before the card pack opening stream I was a part of and some of the video game award stuff. So thanks, man.
Yeah, it was pretty huge. We talk a little bit about all of those things. Huge card pack pulls, some insane ones on Fruit Ends. We got tons of video game award stuff. We talk about some of the winners. Mostly talk about all the new stuff that got revealed and what we thought of it. And we do spend some time talking about perhaps the strangest game to come out in the past couple of years, the day before, which is, I don't even know how to talk about
it. We don't know what it is.
And we do talk about the GTA 6 reveal and how we're feeling about that. So if you're interested in all that and more, stay for the podcast.
Stick around.
Stick around, y'all.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angi.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the GG Over Easy podcast. That's all for being patient. Sorry we missed last week. It was kind of crazy with the whole pack opening stuff, which is probably what we'll start with.
I'm so jealous. And also amazed.
Yeah, dude, it was a lot of fun. So Datto had warned me in Sydney. He goes, hey, like, would you guys be interested in coming to the card pack thing? This is probably loud. Must have been around like GCX or whatever it's called. Yeah, general GCX. And I was like, hey, like, would you guys be interested in coming for like the pack opening? We're like, yeah, that sounds like really funny. He goes, I'm gonna warn you though, it's a lot. And you know, Sydney and I are like, whatever.
Easy peasy. We're just opening we're just opening cardboard.
Yeah, so Sydney and I fly out Friday morning. And the stream is on Friday. So we get there around 10. And I want to say we start opening packs sometime around like one. And we start with Pokemon, obviously. And again, I'm not too familiar with the Pokemon cards, but we opened up like, I don't think we opened up like anything crazy in the Pokemon packs. Like there wasn't any like cool Charizards or full arts or anything like that.
They Pokemon nowadays tends to like even out the rarity. Yeah. So there's like a better distribution of like fairly decent like price cards. And then, yeah, there's still like that chase that's like $200-$300.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I like, I couldn't tell you exactly like what we opened, but like I know we opened up some like Scarlet and Violet packs, some 151, a bunch of other packs too. But what I really liked is when we moved on to Magic. Now, I'm not really, really familiar with Magic. I don't play it. I tried once on like their online client and it was really confusing. But man, they had some cool art, but the coolest one was Sydney and I really liked was were the Lord of the Rings one.
Oof, yeah, the Lord of the Rings one went hard.
Yeah, those were really, really cool. And I had like a ton of good luck opening the Magic ones. I opened up a ton of like dragons that were really rare. Some of the art was really cool too. But Sydney opened up this really cool, I think they're called like poster cards, which they made like the cards almost look like a poster. If you want to look it up, it's called the One Ring to Rule Them All poster foil. That was probably like one of my favorite cards anybody opened any that day. I think it goes for around like $400 to $500. There, Christian also opened up another poster card. I think it was an Aragorn poster card foil. And there was one more poster card that somebody had opened that was
really cool. Those are sick.
Yeah.
They're like, you wanna, like, look. They look like band, like touring posters.
Yeah, they're really cool. Like the One Ring to Rule Them All one is like probably like my favorite card anybody.
Yeah, those are sick. Holy.
And like the foil on them was really, really cool. So like that was probably like my favorite. We obviously didn't open the one to rule them all because somebody had already done that.
Yeah, 100%.
Trying to think like what other kind of cool cards we and then Datto had moved us on to a Kickstarter segment. Oh, we opened Yu-Gi-Oh cards blue.
Oh, I didn't see that part. Yu-Gi-Oh is a confusing ass card game to open.
We did open up Yu-Gi-Oh. I forgot what set it was, but we hit nothing. Like, and Datto was like, that's it, I'm done with Yu-Gi-Oh. Every year I buy Yu-Gi-Oh, don't get
it. It's Yu-Gi-Oh's one of those card games that like Konami, it's one of those like apps, like, see with Pokemon and Magic, like they get away with because they have a system where like the cards rotate out, they can like continuously like have interest in new packs.
Yeah.
Whereas with Yu-Gi-Oh, right, the price of a card is completely based on its gameplay.
Oh, we opened up 25th anniversary rarity collection.
Ooh, that's not a great collection, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's what we had. That's what we were about opening. And like, what I really didn't like about Yu-Gi-Oh, especially that set, I don't know if it's normal for Yu-Gi-Oh, only 5 cards came in that pack.
They do whenever like those, you know, those rare, like I'm assuming like almost like pretty much all the cards were like some type of holofoil, right?
Yeah, most of them like were like and I don't think like we got like anything from that. I'll
look at the card list here. Yu-Gi-Oh cards usually like with the anniversary packs and stuff, it's like reprints of really cool stuff. So like if you play the game, it's great for you because like you want playable cards. But if you're a collector, Yu-Gi-Oh is not really like a good collector, like a collect cool cards type of game, because it's like, because Konami pushes everything to, we need to sell more packs we need to make overpowered cards. You know, they got a power creep, make the game faster because they don't have like a rotating ban list.
Yeah.
So like, it's like in Yu-Gi-Oh, there's like maybe like one or two hits, and they are absurdly rare in like a massive, massive pool of cards, especially for the 25th anniversary. Like, yeah, you get some nice, pretty cards that like make you feel, oh, yay, like I got a pretty shiny card, but like you have to get a really specific rarity, a really specific card. I think the big chase was like the Ash Blossom and Joyous Spring.
Yeah.
But it's like not every Ash Blossom and Joyous Spring is the pull. It's the quarter century secret. Yu-Gi-Oh is a terrible collector's game, unfortunately. So, which is why I'm waiting for Rush Duel.
So unfortunately, I think Datto said he is done with Yu-Gi-Oh. He's putting it away for card openings. We also got to open up some Lorcana, which I was really excited about.
I love the Lorcana cards. I just hate how they're Giga Scalpers paradise.
Yeah, that's like the only sad part is like it's super scalper. For those that don't know, Lorcana is Disney's card game.
Beautiful and, cards.
I think I have some right here. Yeah. Yada was really cool and like gave us a gift for coming there, and he gave us like our own Lorcana like booster box essentially. And it came in with like these cool, like obviously like promo cards or whatever. So for those that kind of want to see what they look like, this is like the Mickey Mouse one. God. My headset is all. So this is kind of what the Lorcana is like.
Gas. Oh, it has like the signature too.
Yeah, so that's what's really cool about it. It like shows like the artist's name on there and stuff.
I love the full art versions in Lorcana.
Yeah, so they did a really good job on these cards. And you know, as I grow a little bit older, I kind of turn into one of those Disney freaks or Disney adults. Not like to that extent.
Oh, it's dope.
But it's really cool, and like I really like the. Just really like how the card pack looks, and this is the one I was probably like the most interested in opening.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think we opened up anything too crazy from Lorcana.
The great thing about Lorcana is it's such a young game, and it's like people are ravenous for it. That there's a lot of like big pull cards, like from a money perspective.
Let me see what the best. Open from that is TCG probably have it. The Rise of the Frostborn or Floodborn. So market price. That thing. But Seattle's really cool too. Like, I really like Seattle. That was like my first time. I
want to go to Seattle one day. 100%.
So I guess Alice was the best one. Arthur. Oh no, that's thing here. Okay. Cinderella, I guess, was the best. Hercules Beast. God, I don't think we opened up any of these banger ones. I think the best one we opened from this that I can remember, I think, was the Fairy Godmother. That one is $6.
You didn't open like any of the base set?
Yeah, we did open the base set. I think that's what, the first chapter?
Yeah.
Let's see what we opened up for the chapter. Got Elsa. We did not pull that Elsa card.
Yeah, that's a big one.
I think the best... Oh, I think Genie was the best we pulled. The Genie on the job nice. Altart. Yeah, it was really cool. That set was really, really awesome. But like you said, like a booster box from there goes for like 180 or something like
that. Yeah, so most of the cards have some type of like value just because people are ravenous for Lorcana.
Yeah. And then speaking of ravenous, we opened up probably one of the most hype sets, I think, coming out recently, at least like in terms of like how expensive some cards can be. We opened some One Piece cards that have the gear drive or whatever on it.
Oh yeah, the One Piece is pretty hot right now.
Yeah, the newest like set basically. Awakening of a New Era is what that set was called. And that set is very expensive. Some cards even go for like $2,000 to $4,000 in that set. If you open up like the Gear 5 Luffy, whatever. That was really cool. Unfortunately, we didn't open up anything really that cool from that one.
Yeah.
We opened up some Kickstarter cards, which is probably like honestly one of my favorite segments. Is Datto basically took like looked up like the top 8 Kickstarter TCGs that were being kickstarted, obviously, and he ordered a booster box from every set, some of them being like alpha sets and stuff like that. And there was one of them called Spellcraft or something like that. I'll look it up. But that one was really sick. That's where we opened up the one of the most expensive cards, Kickstarter. Find it. Wasn't shard bound, something like that though. It was really, really cool. Apparently Sydney had opened up a card from that I believe was worth around like I think it was like almost nearly $1,000 or something like that. But basically it's like this Kickstarter alpha box sorcery, that's what it's called. Sorcery. It is a TCG contested realm that had 6,000 backers and raised about 5 million New Zealand dollars. I don't know why it's in New Zealand. But we had opened on that card we opened from this. It was the alpha cards. Yeah, because that was a cool part. Datto had like these booster boxes that were like alphas and betas. And it's just kind of scary though when you're opening all this and you're like, I wonder if this is good. And it's like, I have no fucking idea. Okay, so yeah, Sydney opened up a Philosopher's Stone. That's worth about like $400. This had a lot of hits in it. This Cortesian Theos foil, that was worth like $215. That one had like the biggest hits. The craziest one though, was from Dragon Ball Z.
And this, I watched this one live and I didn't believe it when it was pulled. I was like, no way. Not that I didn't believe he pulled it, but it was more so I didn't believe when you talked about the price of it. I was like, holy shit, dude.
So, don't know what the set is called. The movie, maybe it's Evolutions or maybe it's Miscellaneous Cards. I don't know.
Dragon Ball Super TCG for anyone who is unaware.
Oh, the Dragon Ball Super TCG. That's why I'm not.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know the sets or anything. I'm pretty out of the loop on Dragon Ball. But Mr. Fruit pulled a Super Saiyan 3 Goku. What is it? Fate of the Universe or some shit?
Okay, found it. So the set is Dragon Ball Super CCG Power Absorbed is what the set is called.
Okay.
He opened up a Super Saiyan 3 Son Goku Universe at Stake hologram. And this card is currently last sold for $1,900 and $1,916. So $1,916.
And it's currently on sale. The lowest right now that you could buy it for is $2,500. Holy.
Yeah, and that's not like, that's just like for like the card. That's obviously not it graded.
Not even graded. Not even graded.
And Datto's obviously going to go and get that graded. If a 10 of that, I don't even know like what. I mean, I wonder if there is like a BCG 10. But yeah, that was easily the highest pull that anybody ever got. It's worth about $2,000. Okay, so here's a gem 10 from PSA for $4,500 on Google or on eBay, which is insane. And if that's a BCG or BSG, I guess that's like they grade harder or something, Dado said. It'll probably be worth around $5,000.
God damn.
Yeah. Seeing that, like, it kind of like made me realize, like, I haven't even seen somebody in CSGO pull something that's that expensive before. Like, I think the most expensive thing I've ever seen pulled in CSGO, I think, is my field tested Desert Hydra. And I think at that point it was worth like 1600, maybe 1800. So this little piece of cardboard is the biggest gamba hit I've ever seen in terms of just kind of having fun and ripping cars over. I could not believe that. And then, like, it's so funny watching the clip, too, if you look back. Christian, like, opens it and goes, it's the wrong arc, though. Like, and Dado looks at it like, are you sure? I couldn't believe it, man.
I don't even think, I bet you anything Fruit saw and didn't quite believe it. He probably saw, like, that it was, like, that hollow, like, that. And when Fruit sees cards, he's looking for, like, you know, like the big over the top. Whereas this one is a little more.
And like the crazy thing, like you just said, you're looking for over the top. The cards in these sets are insane. Like they look wild. Like it's like gold on there. They do a really good job at like making the cards look very cool and fancy and golden and like. Like one of the coolest cards we pulled, at least it was like my favorite art wise. It was like Super Saiyan Goku, Super Saiyan Trunks, Super Saiyan Vegeta, all on the same card, like split into fours, all doing like a Kamehameha. And that card was so badass and it was worth like $3.
Better give you that serotonin.
It was sick. It was like easily like one of my favorite sets that we had done. The cards in that are super sick. And put it in comparison, the secret like rare of the Christian one that he opened is worth $4. So
cards are cardboard cutouts are nuts, dude.
Yeah, so that power absorbed that we opened, they're selling booster box on there for $700. Like, which is, that's 12 booster boxes. Okay, 12 booster boxes. One booster box is $45. Okay, that makes a little. Dado had us open a $700. But man, what a time it was. Trying to think if there was other crazy highlights. Dado did open a little bit of a CSGO. Nothing, obviously. Did hit literally anything. And the crazy part was we did that for about 8.5 to 9 hours. We still had cards. Like,
yeah, and between how many people? Six people? Like, that's.
Yeah, six people. And like, so I had a camera and like, what I wanted to do was, you know, give a perspective of somebody still kind of going through each card type of thing. And same with Dado. Danielle, Claire, Christian, and Sydney were just ripping. Like, you know what I mean? Like they weren't going like slower.
Yeah. So like, it's not like you had everyone going slow. You only had like you and Dado doing the nice, you know, the presentation, but everyone else was ripping.
So, so it was about 8.5, 9 hours. It got to the point where Sydney was like, holy shit. Like that was like, we did that. And I was like, yeah, And I was like, and Dad goes, and we didn't even put a dent in it. Cause like, and then he like slams the table with other cards he was going to plan on opening and stuff like that. And Sydney was like, Jesus Christ. It was just a ton of fun though. I hope there's a next time. Dado, also got, I think like 40 cards graded through the year. And, unfortunately did not have a single 10, in any of the cards he got graded, which was,
yeah,
a little sad. Yeah. A lot of 9.5s. You know, obviously on a BSG, he said, getting a 10 on BSG is very hard and difficult to do. I guess they're the toughest grader, I guess. I'm trying to think if there was anything else noteworthy during the pack opening that I can remember in terms of cards. I know Dado's probably going to have some sort of YouTube video that goes through each card and their value and all that kind of stuff.
Pardon your regularly scheduled podcast listening for this short ad break.
Ever tried to break a bad habit and felt like you're climbing Everest in flip-flops? Yeah, we've all been there too. But here's a breath of fresh air. Fume. It's not about giving up, it's about switching it up. Fume takes your bad habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and a whole lot more enjoyable. Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device that does that. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. I love how this thing looks. It's beautiful and real wood. The shape of it is so cool, and I look cool using it. So if you want to be like me and break your bad habit, start the year off right with the good habit by trying fume.com/GG and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners of the show 10% off whenever they use the code GG to help make starting the good habit that much easier. So make sure you guys check it out in the description. Try fume.com/GG. But big shouts out to Dado and Danielle for hosting us. We did an escape room too, which is really fun. Gotta say, kind of hard doing an escape room with Dado and Danielle and Claire and Mr. Fruit, because they're all ginormous experts in escape room. So it got to the point there where I felt I was, Sydney was doing really good too, in terms of like solving stuff. It was me that was like, I don't know what to do, you know, I don't want to step on any like toes here. Like everyone seems to have like their own kind of puzzle they're working on, and I don't want to, you know, confuse people. So, you know, I'll kind of just, you know, float around. But the rooms we did were like really, really high quality. Wasn't a very linear escape room, which I liked. It was kind of like you can kind of find your own path to kind of solving it. And then the next day we went to the marketplace where they throw the fish and all that kind of stuff. I had the greatest clam chowder in the world, which you guys all know is my favorite food. It's put every other clam chowder I've ever had to shame. Oh dude, the worst part though. So Cindy and I have a flight at 4 o'clock and we want to have fun and go and hang out in Seattle. So we hang out in Seattle, go to the aquarium. And we leave around like 2:20, 2:30. And our flight leaves around 4. So we get to the airport around, I want to say, 3 o'clock. So our flight boards in probably like 30 minutes. And we look at online and it says like, oh, like TSA isn't bad. It's only like 10 minutes. And we're like, oh, okay. So we're like chilling. Get to the security line, bro. 45-minute wait.
Holy.
And it's not just like 45 minutes. That's like a soft 45. They're fucking capping on that thing. Like it's at least, like we sit in that thing for about 10 minutes and it's not moving. And I look at Sydney. I was like, we are not making our flight. And Sydney and I had to sign up for clear to get through security. Cause I guess there's like a separate line for clear. So we had to bust our ass out of the line, sign up for a free trial for clear, get into the clear line, have to wait a little bit again. We were those people at the airport where we were like, whoo, like just sprinting like to our gate. Get to our gate while they're boarding like group three. And I'm literally like stressed the whole time because I don't fly like that.
Yeah,
like I'm always like a relaxed flyer, get there about 45 minutes before my flight
boards. And flying like stressed is one of the worst feelings in the fucking world.
Yeah, especially like flying back home. Like flying to a place and kind of being cutting it close and like you don't get it, would be like, well, shit, I guess we just go back home. Like, we're in Seattle, yo. Like, we got
like, I'm trying Uber. To get home.
And bro, Ubers are just out of this world out of the Seattle airport. From the Uber to Dado's, which is, I don't know, it was like about a 30-minute drive, was about $80. So missing our flight, and also I was a baller on a budget this trip. We got them basic economy, baby. We had that basic economy life, which is basically like you only get a backpack, no carry-on. And basically, like, if you miss your flight for basic economy, you don't get refunds. You don't get anything. Like, you bought basic refund. You bought basic economy, bitch. Like, you ain't getting your money back. So that's what I was really stressed about. It was like, oh, my God, we're going to have to buy a fucking flight out of Seattle tomorrow. That's going to be outrageous. The only reason we were able to come on this trip is because we got basic economy tickets and they were fucking cheap. So that's what I was freaking out about. Barely made it on the flight. But then we got home and that's all that mattered. And we had an awesome time. So big shouts out to Dado and Danielle for hosting us, and taking the time. We all had a ton of fun and hope there's a next year. I hope I'm not forgetting anything.
I hope I make it. I want to go next year.
Yeah. It's a ton of fun. I hope to see like anybody. And I mean like, cause like that was the thing. It was like, Jesus Christ, like maybe we actually need to like, get more people
do
here.
Do we need more? Do we need a DattoCon?
Yeah, like that's what it kind of was. It was like, Jesus Christ, like this is kind of getting to the point where it's like,
I think we need a DattoCon.
We need a whole, like, all hands on deck type shit.
I think we need a DattoCon.
Oh, and then big shouts out to Brim. I have unfortunately been stuck with the stigma that all pit bulls are mean and scary. And Brimstone totally like threw that stereotype on its head, and is a very sweet and loving dog, and kind of one of those dogs that as I leave I kind of get dog fever type of thing.
How'd Free like him?
Good, dude. Like, he's just a good little, he's just a good boy, man. And like, he wears little jammies, which is so cute. And he loves just like laying on people and stuff. He's just a really sweet dog. He's genuinely like a good soul. And I love Brim. He's a really good dog.
Yeah, Brim is another dog I really want to meet one day. He's adorable.
In other news, Blue, we had the Video Game Awards wrap up. I think we did pretty good on our pick'ems. I'm sure we all picked Baldur's Gate and all that kind of stuff to win.
Yeah, I really wanted Tears to win, but I definitely saw Baldur's Gate winning. It was pretty much a fight between those two. But I will say, I'm a little surprised 2077 won the ongoing game. I feel like we need a new category for like best expansion. Is like Cyberpunk, is it really an ongoing game? It just got
right,
DLC.
I thought the same thing.
So I think we gotta like separate the ongoing game. Because if we're talking like ongoing game,
like
I think
that
of
game
like,
sucked ass. Like, and now it's like good. Like, yeah, is that really ongoing?
When I think of ongoing, I think of like the, you know, the
Genshin's, Final Fantasy.
Final, yeah, the MMOs, the Honkai Star Rails. Maybe they're not my favorite games oftentimes, but like, you know, like games that have patches, games that are like updated every couple of months, you know,
live service type
games is what I think of ongoing game. So versus like, I don't really think it's fair to, you know, when it comes to like an expansion, which is like, you know, years in the making for Cyberpunk, right? So
yeah,
it's different. I think they definitely like have a better descriptor or better category. I don't think, it's not like I'm saying 2077's expansion was bad. I'm just saying the it's more of an issue with the Game Awards. The ongoing game descriptor, not an amazing category, in my opinion.
Yeah. Like you said, it's just kind of like a, like, well, it's a single player game that all of a sudden, you know, has been ongoing just because it's been bad. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't think they ever would have considered themselves an ongoing game. It was just weird. I agree.
It was definitely weird. The player's voice.
We have to pull up,
Baldur's Gate 3. That's cool. Oh, yeah. We had so many cool announcements. I'll just quickly over like some of the cool ones.
Yeah.
Adaptation, yeah. Last of Us, Wicked. Indie game
God of War got a new DLC.
Ooh, God of War got a new DLC. That literally
came out
well.
Like 4 days ago, apparently.
There's so many. Hideo Kojima, Jeff was like, Jeff is like just all over that dude's meat. And I get it. But like, bro, stop doing tricks on the glizzy in front of the world. Hideo got on stage and was like, yeah, guys, I don't know what the fuck I'm making, but it's going to be cool. And then he brought out Jordan Peele. And Jordan Peele was like, yeah, y'all, I don't know what the fuck he's making, but it's going to be cool.
Yeah, basically, yeah, exactly.
And Jeff was like, oh my.
Jeff's like, watch me do it backwards. Like,
watch me cup his balls on stage, y'all. I'm going to be wrong. I fucking love Kojima, but he got on stage for like 15 minutes and they didn't talk about anything. I was like, okay.
And then everyone else gets on stage like, thank you so much. I want to thank all the studios. All right, get off. Thank you.
Yeah, 5 seconds
in.
The Valhalla announcement was sick. What else did they announce?
Sega's coming out with some big games.
Sega went into this swinging, saying like, yeah, we're making 6 games.
Yep. Jet Set Radio, Crazy Taxi, and yeah. Shinobi, I think they're called, games.
I'm so excited. We saw Monster Hunter Wilds. Which
I saw the clip of Crusader snoring,
homie,
and I saw you put him in a spot,
dude. Because the Wilds thing was like after the Apex shit, where like Apex got like the Final Fantasy VII collab. And crew was like doing tricks on Apex's glizzy, and I was like, I mean, this is sick. But then
microtransaction type.
But then we have Monster Hunter 6 get announced. I fucking love World, and so I've been waiting for the next World game, which is Wilds, basically looks like Monster Hunter World 2. It's Monster Hunter Wilds. And crew was just like snoring. And I was like, damn, bro, go back to Apex. The best fucking content you got in the past year is a Buster Sword from Cloud, you cuck. Get the fuck out of my face, bro. That was crazy. But I'm so excited for Wilds. It's going to be dope. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
What else got announced?
Also, a new Dragon Ball Z game, Sparking Zero.
They did show off Tenkaichi, I think, at Evo, like a really short preview. So seeing more, seeing like gameplay of this and stuff was super dope. I always love seeing a new Tenkaichi.
This game, Rise of Ronin, I thought looked really cool. It's a new PlayStation game coming in March. Thought that looked kind of cool. Sick.
It was this game, it was like The Last Berserker. That one looked really cool.
Yeah, that one did look really interesting.
I was interested in that one.
For those wondering what Ito's game was called, it's called OD. And basically, it was just people screaming into cameras. So, don't really know what that looks like.
It was funny because he also didn't even show off Death Stranding 2, which he talked about last year. It's like, yeah, we're working on a new game. It's like, we'll have a Death Stranding 2. Any news on that? He's like, don't worry about that, y'all. Not a big deal.
Yeah, so, Death Stranding what?
Death Stranding 2. He announced it last year at Game Awards, and we don't even know anything about it.
Yeah, pretty much.
What else we got? What else? There's so much.
Yeah, there. We can kind of touch on this real quick. E3 is now canceled because of the Video Game Awards, I think.
I mean, it kind of... It's unfortunate because like E3 definitely was one of those super sick places to just like really bring everyone together and play games and like show games off. And the you know, the keynotes were dope. But like as time goes on, it's like increasingly hard to show off a lot of games year after year. And like every studio has just gotten used to like doing their own announcements. You know what I mean? Like Sony has PlayStation Direct. Nintendo does its Nintendo Directs. You know, Xbox does its showcases. And Game Awards is just a way easier format because they're doing Game Awards and the other half is showing like, hey guys, like if you want to show announcements, like this is the time to do it. But there's no pressure on the studios to show up But if they want to show up, like, what a place to do it. You know what I mean? So it's just a better format for all the major publishers. And having all the publishers come together at E3 was already such a big ask. So I it's definitely like a, it's sad. Cause like E3 was for a long time, it was amazing. And in like the past couple of years, it's gotten, you know, like it's definitely like felt like a shell of its former self, especially like in the COVID, like going into the COVID era, E3 really felt like it was like on its last legs.
Yeah.
So,
cause like back when we were kids, Blue, or like, I would say like teenagers, man, like,
man,
you couldn't wait for E3, man.
E3 like, week, dude.
Yeah. It was literally like, I remember, I mean, Christian taking me to E3, like it was literally like a dream come true for, I know both of us, like just being able to like go to one, it was literally like one of the coolest experiences ever. But like you said, like after experiencing it, it's like, man, do we like really need this? Like, cause at that point it was still like close to the public and stuff like that. It was like, this is like, I don't know, just doesn't seem like the way to like get your game out there in the best way possible. Like, it seems like there's way better ways. And now we know,
the studio is just like really adopted the, like, we'll show you when it's fucking ready. Whenever we feel like it, and like at our own pace. And Game Awards is unfortunately just a way easier format for people to like, you know, hop in. It's like with E3, it's like, I also imagine E3, like from an investment standing, right, is a lot of pressure on, you know, the big companies.
Yep.
And then you go to the Game Awards and it's like, we don't have to do a big presentation. We don't have to get like, force a bunch of reveals. We don't have to
hire a host to, you know,
don't gotta like, hire a host. Don't gotta set up a big presentation. Like, we could just do that on our own time. And oh, we got the Game Awards too. We could just ship a trailer, show some gameplay if we feel like it, you know, to Jeff, and that's it. Like, it's just easier. So
yeah,
it's sad. It's sad having this big convention of everyone coming together, but you know, different times.
And with other announcements, Blade, a new Blade game was announced.
I damn near cream my pants.
Yeah, Blade is going to be really cool. Like Blue said, Apex Legends and Final Fantasy VII are having like a skin collab, I guess. I'm not sure if like Final Fantasy or like Apex is going to be in Final Fantasy, but I know Final Fantasy will be in Apex. You know, I don't know how that's going
to. Speaking of Final Fantasy, we 16 revealed its DLC and then dropped DLC like the night of, I think, of Game Awards. So that was sick.
The No Man's Sky developers showed off their new game. Light No Fire.
Which it looks sick, but I'm kind of scared because it's like, I've been here before.
Yeah. I've been here before. Like, exactly. Like, Final Fantasy 16, Echoes of the Fallen DLC.
Yep.
The finals got released, which is
I cool. have seen a lot of people really enjoying. This is a game.
Yeah, the finals is fun.
This is a game I didn't expect. When I saw the finals, like when it was coming out, I was like, oh, this is a cool game, but I didn't think it would for the time being, it's really popular and I didn't expect it. So I hope it keeps doing good because people seem to be having a really, really fun time. People really seem to like the format. I do like the concept of like using what you're given instead of like, you know, tailoring everything to like how you want to play. It's like, no, you gotta you have things you gotta like work with. Everyone plays with the same tools, like you gotta make it work. The light, heavy, medium concept is really cool. So
Mr. Fruit got his announcement, Skull and Bones officially coming out February 16th,
I don't believe
2024.
This is a ChatGPT day before AI generated marketing scam. I don't believe this game's real. When it comes out, and it comes out, if it comes out, I will believe it. Well, until then, this is a day before scam. You can't tell me otherwise. I do not believe this game's real.
Warframe got a DLC. They showed off a little bit more of the Black Myth Wukong game, which looks very interesting. You know, I'm very excited to kind of get that game. It looks very like, you know, Dark Souls-y meets Chinese mythology type game, which I'm all for. There's a new custom Fortnite mode, Rocket Racing, which I haven't tried yet, but I've heard that's a lot of fun.
Have you we could talk about this after, because this wasn't a game board announcement, but the new stuff coming to Fortnite is super huge.
Yeah. It's looking like about it for me. Hellblade 2. I know everybody liked a lot of the Hellblade 1 games. Trying to see if there's anything else that is worth. Persona 3 Reloaded. That one's for Sammy. I know Sammy's got to be hyped about that.
Oh, there was this game from like the Life is Strange devs. I don't know if this is a hot take. How many times can you release the same game over and over? Because they were like showing it off, and now they're like from the creators of the Life is Strange, and I was like, damn, this is like the same game again.
Again,
I was like, I've seen this before. Like, this seems so familiar. And they're like, from the creators of Life is Strange. I was like, yep, that sounds about right. No shade to Life is Strange, guys. I hope you guys are doing great over there. But like, I'm just like, damn, like, people really like this lane, and I'm just not one of them.
Pardon your regularly scheduled podcast listening for this short ad break.
That was pretty much the Game Awards. I'll kind of transition into what Blue... Oh, go ahead.
One last thing before. There was this game called Exodus that they showed off. It was from like ex-BioWare devs.
Uh-huh.
It was interesting. It was more, it was just like cutscenes.
Got you excited for it?
It was... the gameplay was actually kind of cool. It was like... It looked like a looter shooter type game, and the characters, like the role of the, like your characters and like the faction of people I guess you play as are the Travelers. So everyone was like, oh, the Traveler Destiny. And I was like, guys, stop.
Kill yourself.
We just started. It just got revealed. Nexus looked really cool. I'm kind of interested in seeing what they do. And then Ikumi Nakamura showed off this game Kamuri, which was really sick. And then they showed off the Dead by Daylight spinoff.
Shout out Bryce,
looked pretty cool.
Okay, you sounded hesitant. I thought you didn't like it.
It looked cool, but like I'm not really like that's not my craziest, not my genre.
Yeah,
I think that was about that's about it.
I know you're about to ask. Fortnite had a big update.
Huge update. Last time we were here. They basically released two new games in the Fortnite universe.
Yeah. Which I didn't really know. When you open up Fortnite, it looks like Roblox now. Where basically, I don't really know what Roblox looked like, but I kind of understand that like people can make their own tiny pet games in there and all that kind of stuff with the engine. It seems like Fortnite does that now too, where you can basically create a map and put it on like the front page of the store or whatever, and people can play it and you can make money from it. Fortnite Lego might be right now one of my favorite survival games that I have played in a very, very long time. I really feel like it's kind of what Minecraft needed to better itself, because at one point, CSGO was the only tactical shooter that like did anything, and Valve was content in that and didn't have to update the game or fix the game or anything like that. And then Valorant came out and it was like, oh shit, like we got to update our game and make it cool. We're losing players. And I kind of hope that's what Lego Fortnite is going to do with Minecraft. You know, Minecraft, they're like, hey, we introduced a new flower, and everybody loses their fucking minds. Meanwhile, Lego Minecraft is like, by the way, we just hot fixed everything. We gave it tools 30%. Like, they're hot fixing the game every day. They're listening to players. They're patching the game every day. It is a fucking blast. I'm having a ton of fun with it. If you have kids, You've always wanted a game with your kids, but like your kids play Boo Boo Keys type shit. This is Boo Boo Keys, but it's a good kind of Boo Boo Keys. It's kind of like a Pixar movie where, like, you know, the kids get a lot out of it, but, you know, the adults find the underlining themes and are like, wow, this is like really hitting. And that's how I feel about this Lego Fortnite. It's a ton of fun. Have you tried it at all, Blue?
I haven't tried it. I kind of want to hop with the boys because I saw you guys streaming it.
Yeah, dude.
It seemed pretty cool. I'm not like crazy into like the new wave of like survival games. But this one seems fun. It seems like Valheim and Minecraft had a baby.
And, yeah, that's kind of what it's like, really.
And so I definitely would try it. But yeah, seeing everyone have fun with it, it definitely made me want to give it a shot. So I probably will here next week or two.
Something we haven't talked about and kind of forgot about. We got the GTA 6 trailer.
Oh, man. And dude, this trailer, let me I watched it and I was like, okay, sick. But like this game got like how many views? This game got like
I think it broke Mr. Beast's record
like 50 million views a day or some shit like that.
Yeah, I think it was like 50 million views in 24 hours. And I think that like beat the old record of like Mr. Beast or something like that.
Like this game has 150 million views right now. Like
that's crazy.
Like people talk a big game about a lot of studios, but no game has the cultural like just like pulse, just finger on the pulse of what gets people excited, like Grand Theft Auto. Like Grand Theft Auto is just one of those games that like
it's one of those games. You said, it's almost a culture thing. Like it's not even a game. It's like
one of those games that goes beyond gaming. You know what I mean? It's one of those games that, and dare I say, the only game that breaks out into like the mainstream culture of like everyone knows Grand Theft Auto. Everyone knows Grand Theft Auto. Everyone knows when a new Grand Theft Auto game is coming. My mom knows about Grand Theft Auto. She was like, oh, wow, a new Grand Theft Auto trailer. I was like, Mom, what the fuck? How did you know about it? She's like, it's Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto is like that game that just like is beyond. It just breaks out of the gaming shell every time it comes out. Like, you can tell me a lot of games do a lot of things, but like, you know, it's still in the video gaming sphere of like, you ask a normie, like, what's Fallout? A random person on the street's not gonna fucking know what Fallout is. What's The Last of Us? Random person on the street's not gonna know what a fucking Last of Us is. Well, I mean, they might now because the show is gas, but like on the merits of the game alone, Grand Theft Auto just does something that no other game does. It just breaks out, and it just like it's like, yeah, we're here. I was so excited, and then like I saw the coming in 2025, and I was
because we all know that's gonna be holiday 2025.
Fuck. Yep.
So we got 2 years to wait. But it's gonna be so sick. I pray. A little enthusiastic if you ask me, but I hope we get a PC port at launch. Not even a port, like its own kind of thing, hopefully. I pray. I'll probably have to update my computer for that. But I pray. We'll see.
I pray for my computer, but hopefully I have a PS5 by then, because I don't think my poor computer would be able to handle the melt that this game is probably going to bring upon my system.
Real quick, Blue, before we end the podcast, I know you're kind of on a tight window here. We talked about it a little bit before, but just after 4 days, the day after disastrous launch, game bad, the studio closed and said we miscalculated our capabilities. So for those that don't know, a game that's been a little bit of a controversy with only its promises or what they said the game was going to be, or the fact they got into a legal case about font. How do you say their name? Fantastic. I'm going to guess that's how you say the studio's name. They put out a tweet that basically said, today we announced the closure of Fantastic Studios. Unfortunately, the day before has failed financially, and we lack the funds to continue. All income received is being used to pay off debts to our partners. We invested all our efforts, resources, and man hours into the development of The Day Before, which was our first huge game. We really wanted to release new patches to reveal the full potential of the game, but unfortunately, we don't have the funding to continue the work. It's important to note that we didn't take any money from the public during the development of The Day Before. There were no pre-orders or crowdfunding campaigns. We worked tirelessly for 5 years, pouring our blood, sweat, and tears into the game. At the moment, the future of The Day Before and Prop Night is unknown, but the servers will remain operational. We apologize if we didn't meet your expectations. We did everything within our power, but unfortunately, we miscalculated our capabilities. Creating games is an incredibly hard endeavor. We're grateful for everyone who has supported us during these difficult years, and it's been a fantastic journey the past 8 years. And then they kind of list the games that they put out. And basically, I don't know how else to say it. It looks like almost like a studio did a rug pull from people.
This looks like the final scam. This looks like the scam, and like they did the scam, and now this is the epilogue of the scam. Like, they're not done scamming. I don't even believe this is a studio that has like many employees. You know what I mean? Like, I think this is a meme game. What I saw of it doesn't even look like it looked like a student project. It looked like, because the way everyone was talking about it, even on Game Dev Twitter, they're like, yeah, like most of this stuff is just like, almost all of this is Unreal Engine Store assets and animations and like, you know, like basic like presets that are built for you. I think one person said like the only thing that looks like they made it themselves was like the nodes to loot, and that was about it. So I don't know all the greater details of it, but I feel like this game was a massive scam. I feel like they got their money. I feel like they got more than what they expected because of the hype of The Day Before, of like, is this game real or not? What kind of meme is this? They got a lot of attention, and now they're like, ooh, too hot, too hot, too hot. We're closing the studio down, guys.
Yeah, it's something I've never seen before. Like, I have some stats here. So somebody in Russia had like looked into like the game and how much it sold. It said The Day Before sold 109,000 copies globally after refunds in parentheses, but fell out of the top selling charts almost immediately after the launch. One of the investors of the game says, today we will work with Steam to open up refunds for any players who choose to make a refund. And apparently, out of everybody who's bought the games, there's been a 46% refund claim from players. And I don't know if you guys watched Mr. Fruit play it or have watched his video on it. That game is a two-pack of ass. Like, that game sucks ass. I'm even surprised it got to that point. So it is truly like, you know, give us, this is almost like Cyberpunk, like No Man's Sky. I'm trying to think of games that like came out and were just really bad, and then the studio just going, yeah, like, are like, we're not like updating anymore, we're just taking the money and hopefully you don't like refund it because this game sucks. Truly one of the oddest things in gaming, I think. Did you end up playing it at all?
Didn't play it at all, because I didn't really have an interest, and I just smelled the scam. I just smelled a, this just feels like something that exists as like a marketing tactic to see if they get people to buy it, and if people buy it, cool.
People, and for those that don't know, Steam's go ahead.
That was it. I was shocked. Like, they popped off.
For those that don't know Steam's refund policy, so you guys may ask, like, oh, why don't people just get a refund? It's a little different. So for Steam specifically, if you play the game for more than 2 hours, you're not eligible for a refund. Steam looks at that as basically like the cap period of you being able to ask for a refund. And The Day Before is the kind of game where you need to put a little bit of hours into it to probably, you know, like, oh, I need to do this for a little bit to like get to the center, you know, get to what's the good stuff. So I'm assuming more people, I'd probably assume probably 20 to 30% of people that played it probably played it for more than 2 hours and aren't eligible for a refund, even though the game isn't being updated anymore and the studio is now closed. So now a lot of people, I don't know how much they charge. Do you know how much they charged in the store for it?
No idea.
Is it a $60 game? Yeah, I don't know how much they charge for it. I mean, $40 to $60, I would assume. But yeah, the game is ass. If you've played it for more than 2 hours, I think you'll be eligible for a refund at some point. But yeah, I have just never seen that before. It's crazy.
Like, I mean, damn. They scammed and they got away with it. I respect the hustle.
But yeah, that'll probably do it for the podcast today. We have a little bit of a time crunch here. So we won't be able to get to Q&A. We'll do a long Q&A next week. So make sure you guys get your questions on the Patreon.
Get them in. We're going to do all of them.
Blue, appreciate you coming in and chilling and hanging out. So we will see you guys all next week for our Christmas episode.
It's going to be a big one.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. A lot of Christmas cheer for you guys. Love you guys.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.